9 practices are in the books of fall camp. Only a week left. And you know what that means? It's our annual fall camp. Stock up, stock down show. Oh, and by the way, we're just 3 short weeks away from football kicking off. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective. Woohoo! Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, 9 practices are done through fall camp with only a week to go, culminating in an open practice next Saturday, which I believe Justin's going to be going to, if I'm not mistaken.
Next Tuesday.
What did I say? Tuesday. Yeah.
Saturday.
Next Tuesday. And so we're going to do a camp stock up, stock down. We've done this every year. We're going to go through the positions. We're going to go through some players. We've each got different ones we haven't shared with each other. So we'll kind of go through them. We'll react to them as well, just to give us kind of a sense of where we feel like things sit now that we've got a good chunk of fall camp through. And of course, we're only 3 weeks away from the beginning of the season. A couple quick programming notes. First of all, the last couple weeks, our audio has been crap. Sorry about that. We've hopefully got that corrected. I've got some new monitors in my ear that I'm listening on, so we should be good. Apologies for all the tech issues we've had the last couple of weeks. Also, apologies that we missed a Know Your Foe. I could not get the interview that I needed scheduled. So I got a couple questions on Twitter about this. There was no Know Your Foe this week. There will be one this week. Iowa's going to be happening this week, and then Minnesota will close things out the week after. So we'll do 7 instead of 8. And of course, we've got 2 more shows left after this. Tonight's our camp stock up, stock down. Then we've got our preseason awards, which is next week, and final camp discussion. And of course, our official season preview and predictions. And of course, once again, reminder that the Bucky Report will be on the road in Lambeau Field for the opener in Green Bay. Still trying to work out some details. I was talking to our buddy Honcho today. We're trying to find out what bar we should meet at for pregame Saturday. So there'll be a meetup on Saturday before the game if you're going to be in Green Bay. There'll be a meetup on Sunday pregame before, you know, sometime in the afternoon. Obviously, it's going to be a long day. I think Justin and I are going to be probably drinking a hefty amount before kickoff, because it's not till 6:30. Yeah. So a lot going on. But thanks for bearing with us during all this kind of road to kickoff. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of good shows. If you haven't watched all our summer kickoff shows, go back. If there's a show that you want, offense preview, defense preview, superlatives, anything, they're all back there for you to look at. And of course, you can check out any of our Know Your Foe stuff. Justin, happy Sunday, 3 weeks away. How you doing? Mid camp. How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm feeling good about how the preseason is going. We had a good practice today from the boys. We'll discuss that some more coming up here, but I feel like this team is in a good place. It feels like some things are coming together, especially the offensive line. I really trust Mateos. So I'm excited for what this next week is going to bring for us.
Taito something says, let's go Brewers. Of course, I was subjected to listening to Justin talk about the Brewers before we went live. And that's just what he always does, because yes, I know the Brewers are good, and it's really, really annoying. Let me tell you, as a Cubs fan,
probably even more annoying knowing their payroll is like half of what yours is.
Yeah. Oso Fly, just in time for a great listen for my workout. Awesome. Welcome, Oso Fly. Hope you have a good workout. Let's get into it. Stock up, stock down, Justin. We've each got a bunch. We'll just start on the offensive side of the ball. So anything you've got offensively, we'll start there. Then we'll go to defense, and we'll go to other things. Actually, might do other things in the middle. But let's start offensively. Give me your first stock up, and we'll just react to each other's and then go from there.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little under the radar to start here. Stock up one of my boys, Nazai Davis. Starting to get consistent snaps with the twos. I have an absolute belief that this guy, if he gets it together, is the type of deep threat at tight end that we haven't had it since forever. Probably not since Travis Beckham. I don't think he's quite that level of athlete, but he's a guy who I think can really stretch the seam, which is something that Wisconsin, in my opinion, I would love to have a weapon there, because we seem to struggle to get those guys in the perimeter.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of mine too. And listen, you mentioned the passing threat. Well, he's a good blocker too. Like, his blocking has been fantastic in camp so far.
Yep.
Super physical. And listen, this is quietly one of the most intriguing rooms, not even quietly, one of the most intriguing rooms that the Badgers have right now. Justin, like, we've got your guy Emmett Bourque, who you absolutely love. We've got Jacob Harris, we've got Ryan Schwendeman, we've got Grant Steck. You know, like, the list is actually pretty long, and frankly, I don't know who's actually going to get snaps. I don't know who's going to get the catches. I don't know who's going to be in there on blocking. There was a lot of 12 personnel in recent camps, like in practices. This is actually a perplexing room for me. So I'm going to say stock up the entire tight end room, first of all. But I agree with you on Nazai Davis. But I think this could be a surprising room in many ways. Like, it surprisingly from a performance perspective, but also who the hell's going to play in this room?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You have a ton of depth in there. I still think there's a gap between some of the younger guys and the top four, but I think you'd feel pretty good about all of the top four being out there. Schwindeman's probably not quite the receiver of the other three, but he's capable of being a very good inline blocker and doing some of the dirty work type stuff. And I think the hands there are solid. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a guy, if he is forced to play consistently, ends up with like 12 catches or something like that. Where you're like, oh, he leaked out a couple of times and got a first down here or there. He's just not a guy like Bourque who potentially could be a threat more up the seam or just on some of that intermediate stuff. And then Steck, another incredible blocker in that room. And Harris, surprisingly came in as more of a receiver threat, but there's been talk about how good of a blocker he's been. And what this does is, if you have guys that are capable of being versatile like that, who are also receivers, you have a lot of opportunity to leak them out where they chip on a guy and the defense just starts to kind of back off of them because they think they're staying in. And now suddenly that guy drops out and picks up 5 yards or picks up 7 or 8 yards because the defense has moved slightly out of position. Even if it's just a step, it can be enough to get these guys to be able to do something positive for the offense.
Yeah, MB Anderson says Harris is massive, so not too shocking. Just needed the coaching. Yeah, this room is pretty solid. A lot of good stuff in there. I'm going to go stock down for my first one. I mean, we've talked about the offensive line all year, and we're going to talk about them again. I'm going to say stock down specifically on the O-line depth. I like injuries, the health, like however you want to say it. Like, I know this line's going to be better. I understand that. But listen, Kevin Haywood's been out of practice for nearly a week. And Emerson Mandel is still limited. And we've got backup center potential issues. I know that Nolan Davenport was getting some runs with the twos today. Like, I just, again, I'm very concerned about this. Like, I just feel like I'm going to say stock down from where I was coming into camp. I'm down a little bit on this group only because I just don't know that we can rely on their health and the depth behind guys like Haywood and Mandel. Now, that all being said, if Haywood suits up against Notre Dame, which I think he will, and I've heard as much, I think we could be fine. But if he doesn't, and Simmons is out there playing on the right, and then we really don't have a proper backup tackle, and then Hardy Watts is number two on, it's just, I'm going to say stock down on this because we've had a couple injuries and it's difficult. And this is the same thing that happened last year in fall camp. And we were scared and look what happened in game one. I'm not saying that's going to happen again. I know this group's better. I know there's a lot of talk about physicality. I think Eric Mateos is definitely a good coach. Very pleased with what I'm hearing out of that room. I just am worried about depth and injuries, Justin.
And this is where I'm going to disagree.
Oh boy.
It sounds like Haywood is going, they said he's getting close to being back, which I understand. You're probably taking your, like, I don't know what it is. This is me completely just throwing something out there. I don't know any better, but I'm guessing it's like a high ankle sprain or something like that, that they're just like, we're just not going to rush you. Like, you could probably play on it if you had to, but there's no reason to push you because this could be something that ends up being a nagging thing through the rest of the season. Mandel, I want to see him out there because I don't know how much from the training standpoint he was part of. I trust that he's going to be ready, but I want him to be out there. I do think that Cherry is capable if they have to rely on him as the right guard in that game. I think that he's a quality player at that position, but I guess I'm confident that those two are going to be back, which is why I don't feel too worried about it, because I do feel like what this is doing as it's forcing Lucas Simmons to get better at being the backup right tackle. so that you have somebody. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Haywood, those first week and a half that he was in there, was considered like the best offensive lineman we had. And if you can get Simmons to the point where you're like, I trust him to be out there to be give you quality snaps, I think that's a big deal. And I think that's kind of where we're trying to get with him. I don't think he's that far off. It sounded like they really ran the ball well today. So what I will say is, I think you feel really good about guard, because I think you get Mandel back, you legitimately probably feel four deep at that position. And I think you feel, if you have, if Wilkins and Haywood are your starter and you have Simmons as your third, I think you feel pretty good. I think where I was going to go with this, and where I agree with you, is backup center. Because until I know that that position is capable of being consistent in what they do, I'm very uncomfortable with having somebody where snapping might be a problem. We haven't heard anything about them getting blown up, which is a positive. We're not hearing that blocking is the issue. We're hearing that the consistent snaps is the issue. So if they get that figured out, I'll feel much better about the offensive line depth overall. But until we hear that, it's really hard for me to go all in on it. But I do feel overall the depth of the line is pretty good. It's backup center to me that scares me.
Yeah, I'm not even going to mention snapping. You all know my thoughts about the snapping. I'm just going to leave it alone.
I know you feel the same as me.
Matt Miller says, Badger chat only. In response to Archie and Graham, go Irish. Hey, listen, all opinions welcome here. If you're an Irish fan and you're listening to this, just check out the competition. I love it. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you guys get your ass kicked in Green Bay. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? All right, I'm going to go next on this one. One of my positives. You all know this is coming. There was no chance I wasn't going to have my stock up as Mr. Eugene Hilton Jr. Let's go. Wide receiver one clearly has been the talk of a lot of journalists, a lot of writers, a lot of beat reporters. Anyone who's been at practice has mentioned Eugene Hilton. We talked about earlier in the summer, Justin, one of the reasons to believe, one of the potential positives here was that Eugene Hilton could be wide receiver one, which, by the way, many people, I don't know if you did or not, but many people, I know Ryan, disagreed with me on this, and that's okay. I loved Eugene Hilton. It's been that way for a while. I think he's a great route runner. I think his skill is incredible. He learned from the best. His pedigree matters, which I've said on this show before. I think that he is going to be wide receiver one, and I know there's other receivers that we're going to talk about, but I just want to highlight Eugene Hilton on a guy that entered the portal, came back, and then is giving it his all and has actually been the man. Like, he has been the guy so far in camp. You talk to anyone, say, who's been the best receiver? The answer is Eugene Hilton from most of those people. And I'm excited for you to see him when you go down for next Tuesday for that final practice. And I want to know your thoughts on it. I think this is really special. And remember, in the moments that we saw him as a freshman, we liked what we saw. Listen, like, this guy is, it's not nothing. It's not nothing that in that wide receiver room, which might not be super top heavy, but it is deep as far as overall talent. If he's really emerging as the guy, that's fantastic. Stock up Eugene Hilton.
Yeah, I he's one of them that was on there. I have another guy that I'm going to be going to here in a second, but I do want to give my thoughts on Eugene. I was critical of him from the standpoint of, from the spring, I wanted to see him grab that spot and take it and run with it. And I didn't see that from him enough in the spring. I'm glad to hear that he is improving that he deserves it here in the fall, which to me is important. I think that we feel good about the room having some capable players, but having somebody who you can rely on to consistently get open, which it sounds like he's been doing against a corner room that we feel pretty good about coming into this season, is a positive. Because we need somebody that can be that safety valve to a quarterback. We've talked about it as the tight ends, but ultimately you'd love to have a receiver that's capable of just winning consistently too. My guy that I'm going to for this was also one of my guys coming in from this last class, Mr. Cash Brock. Because he has reportedly had a good camp. He had a great day today. He has consistently started grabbing reps with the twos. For a true freshman wide receiver, I love the kid's build. I really liked his film coming out. He was somebody who was with Iowa State, and I remember saying when we grabbed him, I'm like, this guy looks like every one of those Iowa State wide receivers that ends up in the NFL, who is just under the radar for whatever reason, but goes out there, is for what somehow was under the radar at like 6'3" or 6'4", maybe not a total burner, but is a guy who's capable of just creating space and making big plays. And that's what he's looking like. There were a couple of catches from today where he laid out on his back and caught one over the like shoulder of a defensive back. And I'm like, if this is who this kid's going to be, once he gets some strength on him, can create more separation for himself, he's going to be a handful. It sounds like he's been capable of getting deep over the top consistently in practice. And even with the twos, he's going against guys that are being swapped in with the ones. So he has gone against some really good corners here in camp and has been productive. And if that's going to be the case, we're probably not going to see it this year, but I think by next year, we're looking at a guy who we're probably like, he has a chance to really push and at least have a really productive sophomore season, if not be a guy who's going to be one of the focal points of that receiver room.
I'm just going to ask if you think he could find a way to work in this year, but you don't think so.
I think it will be interesting to see how much opportunity he gets. If he starts stealing reps this next week with the ones, then that will be very interesting. But with Shamar Rigby coming back this week, he had a good practice today too. I trust him to much more be the guy who is going to be, you know, the one that they rely on.
Yeah.
Which means you've got to get him a ton of reps this week anyways. So you're probably not going to sneak reps to Brock when you think Rigby offers you more right now.
Yeah, listen, I think Brock's a good shout overall. It's good. It's certainly one for the future, but I agree. He's had a nice camp. Craig Schroeder just rubbing it in here. St. Louis 11, Flubbies 4. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know the Cubs are down 11-4. It's pretty bad.
Well, I mean, when Mark McGwire steps in to the series in his first major league game, it's hard to deal. St. Louis has got some vibes going now with that kid.
At least we got the wild card, pretty much. I shouldn't even say it because I don't want to jinx that. All right. Give me a stock down, Justin. You've had some stock ups. Give me something that's stock down for you.
Yeah, I think if I'm...
On offense.
Let's see here. It's probably Ryan Corey. Like, we're 3 years in on this guy who I was very high on coming in. And I'm just not seeing him consistently be able to get the job done yet, which means... To me, it's I still think that he offers something. Like, he might be able to play guard for you, but like, there's a golden opportunity for you to grab that center position and run with it, and you're just not doing it. And that, to me, I have to start being critical of you, because they are begging you to take that job and be and really own it. And you have some real opportunity going into next year to be the one that's ready to go for that spot, and you're not taking it. And that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that's fair. I touch on that as well. I think that you said it right. Like, he had an opportunity this year. This was his chance, and he still has that chance. He's still getting an opportunity. Hopefully we don't see him in games this year, because hopefully Austin Kwecki is just healthy and fine and can play every snap. And that'd be great.
I want to see him, because that means we are actually winning by a good bit, most likely.
Okay. Fair enough. That's fair. Okay, my next one, let's move to the running back room a little bit. I'm going to give some love to Nate Palmer. Nate Palmer has been a guy that's been talked about a lot, physical, fast, really understanding things, blocking well. Obviously, we know the top two guys in this room are. It's Abu Samah and Darian Dupree, and they both have good camps, and I'm sure you'll talk about them, but I'm happy that Nate Palmer's done well. Brian Jackson got a little dinged up, so Palmer's had more reps. Now, Palmer was out today. He didn't get out there today. There's injuries. Juju Pope's injured today, or at least held out, I should say, not injured. Jackson and Palmer. But I think that's a guy that early on in the summer, you kind of thought, okay, that he's near the bottom of that depth chart. You know, he's not really going to get in there. But I think there's a legitimate case that he's making for RB3, which will get some reps. Like, we know that we know that Grimes wants it to be a one back, so like a heavy one guy. So that's going to be Abu Samah. And then Dupree's going to be your third down back off, and he's the better blocker. He's definitely going to get some carries. And then you're going to get some other stuff, whether it's goal line or whether it's situational. And it looks like Nate Palmer's making a play there. So I'm going stock up overall on their RBs, but Nate Palmer specifically.
I'm going to go stock up for the quarterback room for fall camp, where I'm going to say what we have not heard at all on any day is that the quarterbacks have looked poor. We have not heard a quarterback that has had what we would call a bad day. We've heard guys have had bad plays, but nobody has said, yeah, that they were poor, or that you'd have a read here and there. And there's going to be that. Like, I expect that with so many new moving pieces, it's coming together now. we're hearing that guys are being are growing in consistency over the 2 weeks and have consistently gotten better. And if that's the case, I feel much better about the quarterback room being prepared for this season and being ready to go. The biggest thing for Colton Joseph for me was him settle in and kind of just understand what his limitations are and what his strengths are within this offense so that he got some of the stupid plays out of the way. Hopefully those are getting less and less as we go on. And by the time we get to the first game, he's pretty locked in terms of like understanding, number one, where his guys are going to be, and number two, what he can and can't do if he wants to be productive in this offense.
It's crazy that we got to 20 minutes without talking about the quarterback room, but here we are, so let's do it. Yeah, listen, I think Ryan Hopkins certainly is a guy that overall stock up for me. I mean, he's been a guy that it will climb and likely going to be the RB2, in my opinion, if the situation actually arises. But Deuce Adams has also had a good camp, as has Colton Joseph. I think overall, on the depth of the room, I'm stock up. I think on CJ specifically, I'm kind of a hold here. I think I maybe just the wishful thinking in me wanted him to come onto the scene and just have this incredible camp where I was like, oh my gosh, he's amazing. And to be fair, his running ability, people have mentioned that he is going to be amazing at that dual threat ability. But passing, some of the question marks that we've had, whether it's accuracy, decision-making, all those things, they still appear to be there. Now, again, that's not bad. He's going to be a good quarterback, but I guess I was selfishly just wanting like the first reports to be like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. He could be one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten. Didn't really hear that. You're right though. He needs time to settle in. He's learning the system. Like, he's going to be fine. His first game's against one of the best defenses in the country. That's not good. But then he's got a couple games where he can sort of get his feet wet. I'm fine with this quarterback room. I think the quarterback room is looking good. I just kind of wanted there be a little bit more buzz on Colton Joseph. I mean, you know.
So I'll make 2 points with this. The first thing I will say is I think he's a guy that I think the way I'm grading him is just different, because the way I look at it is like half of what he's really good at is not going to show up in practice here, because it's not what they're, I mean, he's a guy who needs to be kind of let off the leash and allowed to play. And a lot of the running and stuff like that, that's going to come is going to come as a result of him doing things out of what he's supposed to be doing on a given play. And that's not going to translate in fall camp or spring ball, where you're going to have him, you know, potentially be less creative because you're trying to get him to understand, this is what I actually want you to do. You can freelance if you have to after we get out of this, but it's not really what you're trying to do in fall camp. So with some of that, I look at it that. And the other part I will say is this week he has been consistently better with the throwing, and today is actually really good. Like, one of the biggest things that came out of today was he was really good in the intermediate game, which if he can get consistent in that intermediate passing game, then Wisconsin has something that they have not had since Russell Wilson. And I don't mean that he's going to have comparable ability to that. I'm just saying we have not had anyone that really works in that 10 to 20 yard range other than Russell Wilson. He was a guy who was capable of throwing dimes into that area. Even Cone didn't consistently throw in that area. Like, he was more of a short, 10, 12 yard guy and then bomb it. He didn't really work a lot in the intermediate. So if we can find a way to make that work, that is going to keep linebackers from cheating up. That is going to make it far easier to have a productive running game and him to be the offense to function as a whole. I do think Rigby is going to be an aspect of that. Sounds like he had a really strong day today too. I'm not going to give him a stock up guy because he's only got one practice in where he's been live. But he's a big body who's capable, who's probably more experienced and advanced than a lot of the other receivers in that room, who I trust to go out there, and I expect him to push now. I really expect him to start leaning into this and hopefully putting some pressure on. I'm not sure which side he's playing. I'm assuming he's behind Brooks, but if he's behind Brooks, then I want him to see him attack that spot, and I want him to see make Brooks uncomfortable.
Yeah, because, I mean, as it sits right now, it's like Hilton, Brooks, Henry. That appears to be going to be our ones at this point, yeah. Right? Like, I think, yep. And that's not bad. That's okay. But I think
DiMaggio's in there somewhere.
DiMaggio, Rigby, I think that's where you're going to, how much of those guys in there, do they overtake one of those spots? I mean, is Brooks finally going to start? It's a question mark. But overall, I think we're pretty pleased with the offense from what we've kind of hit all the positions.
Eric, can I want to say one more thing on that. Today was the first time. Well, I'll say this is a underlying camp thing that we've heard that I was hoping to hear, but wasn't sure if we would, which is number one, we're consistently hearing about big holes at times in the run game, which is means a lot. But also today they were extremely productive in the run game and being able to open holes and be able to make plays for a defense that I think we trust in quite a bit that is going to be good. So from that aspect of it, it feels like the offensive line is growing, which is exactly what we want to hear, is that they're starting to get some consistency and that this is where the chess game starts to happen, where you want to hear the defensive line now start to really make them work. I want to hear the holes are still getting open, but I want to hear like it's, you know, maybe getting shut down a little bit more here and there just so we feel good about it. But I trust the defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think overall the offense has looked fine. Obviously, the line is the question that we'll just continue to find out and see what happens with that. And we'll see who goes out there and suits up for game one in 3 weeks. And that's going to be telling. And of course, over the next few practices are going to be telling as well. Before we move on to defense, I want to do a couple like middle the special teams, kind of other things. I have a stock up for you that I want your opinion on. I'm going for the whole program, stock up, Sean Eichhorst. I would just like to say that I've been pleasantly surprised. I realize this is not about fall camp football, but I think just in general, I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him, what I've heard from him, what I've read about him, how he's really doing what I think a leader should do, which is get involved in various aspects, listen, learn, not come in there and change everything, like understand the importance of what this department is and reach out to donors, reach out to fans, reach out to everyone. I think Sean Eichhorst seems to be doing a nice job. And I just want to give a little credit and say stock up Sean Eichhorst, because I think that the athletic department under his leadership, I think this could really work. And I think the committee did a good job overall. Whatever your opinions are, that it's fine. But I think he's done a nice job so far. So I wanted to give him a shout.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. What I would say is a good AD to me is somebody who's a quiet AD and is a productive AD. And I think that this is exactly what I wanted to see from him, was I wanted to see him not come in and make rash decisions. I wanted to see him come in and analyze what he's seeing from how we are doing things, and then kind of take a look at it and see where you think that you can make some changes that ultimately help things move forward. Because I think that we'd agree. The one thing about Texas is you're going to see everything done to a 10. And so now you get to come in here and be like, well, where are some places we're falling short that are addressable without creating too much change?
Yeah, I think with his time and his experience in Nebraska and what happened in Nebraska is just clouding a lot of people's sort of thoughts on him, which I understand. But when you spend that much time in Texas and you learn from what a very, very well-run athletic department looks like and how to grow it, and you can now emulate that at Wisconsin, I'm all for it. But also, last thing for me before we get to defense, I do want to talk special teams a little bit, because we haven't talked about this a ton. I mean, kind of stock down kicking at this point. Like, I've heard Lom's missing some kicks. His inconsistency is there.
He had one bad day.
Okay, but one bad day also means
he's been good.
That's fair. Like, I get that. And I, of course, I'm latching onto the one day. We don't really talk about special teams too much, but it is going to be a thing here. Are you confident in Lon? Let me just ask you that. Are you feel good about him?
I don't think he's going to be leading the Big Ten in kicking, but I do think that he's a solid Wisconsin kicker. I think that we have we're down on him simply because of what we saw from the kicker last year. If we were better last year kicking the football, I think that we would be more positive on him in general, because I think people view it as ultimately he must be worse than what we had last year because he didn't take it over, which they had the plan in last year. Whoever won the job, the other person was going to redshirt. And so they wanted to keep whoever it was in that mindset. So I didn't think that at any point during the season, once they had made that decision that Vaikos was the guy, that they were ever going to switch, regardless of what happened. And honestly, it would have been stupid, in my opinion. It would have been a short-sighted move to make that move, given how poor our team was last year. Like, that would have been a change where it's like, really? We're going to make sure that we get an extra three here or there in a game that it doesn't change anything in the outcome? I get being frustrated. It was another area where we stunk. But to me, it just didn't make sense for them to swap him out. But I do think he'll be solid. I think the question is going to be when we start getting to the high 40s or low 50s for kicks, what are we going to see out of him? Because ultimately that will decide whether he's good or just solid this year.
Okay, I think it's fair. I'm being overly critical. MB Anderson says, hasn't missed a kick in 8 out of 9 days. Probably ends up like 75% or something. Yeah, listen, and this is going to be one of those things where game one, lights are on, Lambeau Field. If he makes some kicks, then I'm right behind him. Let's go. Like we need that. And we know we're going to be better in general, which also means we're going to be in close games, which also means it's going to come down to kicks for us to get to from 6 to 8 wins or something like that. Like, you know, it's going to happen. Okay, Justin, let's go to the defense. Lots to talk about there. Give me your first stock up on or down, I guess, on the defense.
Oh, I'm going to go position group again, because this is one of the areas that you had concerns about coming into the defensive line. Stock up, because there are multiple guys who've had a really strong fall camp. Charles Perkins has been great. Hammond Russell has been really good, but it's not just those two. Poizier has been good. And even Dylan Johnson, a guy who has kind of been maligned to this point a little bit, because we expected him to really kind of dive into a room that we felt was kind of shallow to a degree. He's pushing. He's making some plays. He's a guy who's really forcing himself into that group, that top group of defensive linemen, and pushing himself into some snaps, which I think is we have to see that from him. So I'm glad we get to see that. And I feel strongly that there is a lot of depth there that we can go 5 or 6 deep, which I think is really important when you have big bodies like that, because that's a lot of weight for guys to carry. It's real easy to get dinged up when you're carrying that around.
Yeah, Mr. October says, love that reports say both sides of the ball are winning many parts of practices. And I put that up there because that's exactly what you're saying here is the D-line. My gosh, dude. Like, okay, I was wrong. I agree. I admit Justin and I had many arguments about this particular room, and I fought him a lot. And I was like, this room is not going to be good. And we don't know if they are, to be fair. But one of my big stock ups was Charles Perkins. Holy crap, that guy. Like, he's on the thumbnail for this show for a reason, because the dude's had quite a nice camp. And yeah, man, him and Russell, Poizier, Johnson, like you go Vils and Garner, you go, I mean, it's just, I feel like this room is in a really good spot. And with the talent we have behind them, this is that X factor group on the defense. If this group is good, this defense is going to be pretty damn rock solid. Yeah, no, I completely agree here. I mean, Charles Perkins was the guy that I wrote down because I feel like he's kind of going to be like the guy on this defensive line. Right. I mean, and you know, like every year there's always someone who kind of steps up and who takes over that key role. And yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be Perkins' year. I think this is going to, he shines a lot. I think Hammond Russell is also going to be a guy that we've liked since he's been announced, but I just think, you know, here's a guy who's really, really working hard, and that nothing has been bad coming out of that group. Hooded Athlete says Ville is going to be a Barton type. By the way, Ben Barton is the guy that I'm thinking about from last year. Just like, it's such an incredible season. What do you think about Vils and Ben Barton?
I don't think he has that kind of size, which I think is where you kind of look at it. He's going to be a plugger. He's a shorter, a little bit stockier guy. So I think he's going to be more of like the, I think they have him around 300 right now. I don't think you're going to get him much higher than that, because he's shorter than some of the other guys. But I do think he's going to be a guy who's going to, the motor is going to run hot, and he's going to be a guy who's going to play really hard in the middle. But I wouldn't say Barton. If there's anybody that I would say has a chance to be a Barton type guy, I would say it's probably going to be maybe Perkins. Anderson or Perkins. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Perkins.
They might offer a little more disruption. However, I sincerely doubt that they'll block multiple kicks this year, either of them. So,
all right. So for me, my stock up is going to be Eric Fletcher. I think that, and it's really not only that, listen, Eric Fletcher is going to be the starter, because it could very well be Jameer Scott, but I love the competition out of this entire cornerback group. We know Javon Robinson is the guy. We knew that coming into camp. Nothing has changed there. He clearly is that guy. But then when you look at the other people, like the Kai Bates of the world, but Fletcher and Scott particularly are in a bit of a battle, and it's making them both better. And Fletcher, it appears to have had a really good camp. Now, they both have, and I'm not saying Jameer Scott's down. I want to give a shout out to Fletcher because I've read a lot of good things about him. He's a name that keeps popping up on boards and on people that have been there. Like, I'm happy that's the case. I was happy with this room, but I was a little bit concerned about how deep this room really is. I think we're good. I think the room has a lot of competition, has a lot of athleticism, which we've talked about a lot. So yeah, I'm going Eric Fletcher is my stock up in the cornerback room. The room itself is up, but I like that he and Scott are clearly fighting hard.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things. It started to sound like that first week that Scott might take the position and run away with it, and Fletcher has really pushed. In fact, he was. If you can make an argument, if we're talking defensive side of the ball, that he might be the guy that gets the MVP for the week. Like, he had an incredible week. It's probably either him or Perkins. So you have two guys that are really fighting their butts off to get that position to start the season. They're both going to play. And that's one of the things that's great is we're going to be able to get a lot of experience for that corner room. And both those guys are expected to be back next year, which is massive for us. Because now you have a bunch of guys that you feel like going into next year is going to be such a strong group at corner. Same thing with Kai Bates. I expect him to play a fair amount behind Javon Robinson. And that's going to be really big for him because he's probably taking over that boundary side next year.
Yeah, yeah. What's your next stock up or down on the defense?
Yeah, another big one for me. Obviously, Tommy Heiberger. He's a guy who's had a really strong camp. Him and John Kamara kind of fighting each other. I honestly could say both of them, but we knew that they were going to be good. But to hear that they are consistently good, maybe not quite on the level of Posa and Catalano, but in the terms of, like, I would feel super confident with either one of those two guys coming into the season playing and playing well. I feel very strongly that they're doing exactly what we wanted to see from them in this camp. And that's all we can really ask is them to be prepared and ready to go for the season. They're both incredible athletes, which is going to help a lot with this group. I feel strongly that is the room that is probably in a better place than any room in this. Cause we'd feel if any one of those guys had to start, you'd feel good.
Yeah. I mean, when you got, you know, Post Solano or however you want to merge their names together with Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa. And look, there's going to be times, Justin, where Heiberger or Kamara is going to be on the field with those guys. There's going to be three inside linebackers out there. They're going to run, you know, a traditional, maybe more of a kind of a traditional 4-3, with, you know, guys like Garner and Vils are on the ends or whatever the case is. And you're going to have one of them really being more of a pass rush guy, which in many cases will be Posa, right? He's clearly a good pass rusher. He's very disruptive. And yeah, I agree with you. I'm totally good on this whole entire unit. Cooper Catalano, specifically for me, is a name I wrote down. It's not really stock up because I expect both these guys to be incredible, but Cooper Catalano is, I speak very highly of Mason Posa, and I don't talk enough about Catalano. They're both absolutely incredible, and they both should be all Big Ten. Period. End of discussion. They're incredible. But you're right about Heiberger and Kamara. They're going to see the field a lot. And their names keep popping up in a room that has two studs in it. You're hearing about the other guys in the room. That's really special. Really, really special. One for me, which a guy that I think that you're going to like, Nick Clayton. Like, they're stock up Nick Clayton. He's a guy that you're a big fan of. And I mean, we've all been waiting for Nick Clayton to kind of take over the reins as a key pass rusher on this team. We know Sebastian Cheeks is going to have a good year. He's going to be very vital to the success of this defensive front. But Nick Clayton has the high ceiling. No one doubts that of all the guys in the pass rush room, Nick Clayton's got the ceiling, and it looks like he is really that guy. I've heard that he's given fits to some of these tackles, no doubt. I mean, that's what you want. You want a guy that's do that. You want a guy that can be disruptive, get into the backfield. I think my stock down, if I'm being picky, I feel like I haven't heard much about Fearbury, and I feel like I don't know how that's going to fit and whether he's, because I kind of thought coming in, it's going to be Cheeks and Fearbury. It's going to be Cheeks and Clayton, it seems like, which is fine by me. But yeah, credit to Clayton, and the whole pass rush room is fine. But specifically, I'm glad that we're finally seeing that those things. We've been talking a lot about Clayton for a long time. It's good to see that come to fruition, and I feel like he's primed to have a really good season, man.
Yeah. So what I will say on this is it's such an interesting thing. I constantly hear people say how good he was on a given day. And then when we start talking about who's going to play and like they expect big things from, nobody wants to kind of follow that up with expecting much from him this year. And it's like, well, if he's consistently looks like kind of the guy, and Cheeks has looked really good, but I think most of the people that watch him have kind of said that Clayton is a little bit more like that prototypical guy off the edge compared to it. He's got a little bit more length, a little bit more burst than what Cheeks has. It's so interesting to me that they are afraid to kind of dip their foot in and go all in. I'll go all in on it. If you're going to give Clayton opportunity, he's going to be a guy that's going to get you 5 or 6 sacks because athletically speaking, he's just faster than the tackles, which means that there's going to be either holds or they're going to see guys trying to stay with him and him just going past because he's fast enough. He's legitimately a guy that we've been frustrated watching on like Penn State or something, where they have that edge guy that can just fly off the edge and just blow by a tackle. Clayton was, what would they say, is a 4.57 off the edge at 6'4", 6'5", 245 pounds. So
special.
And with good bend. The other person that's at this spot that I would really like to give some credit to, he's been dinged up the last couple practices, but Jalen Williams. Mm-hmm. He's been consistently getting some reps with the two. He's been a guy who they feel has a skill set that nobody else really has because he's kind of that big body who also has some good pass rush ability to him, which is why I loved him as a recruit to begin with. And if he's healthy and back out there again, I think he's got a chance because he's got kind of something that a lot of the other guys don't have. And that's a little bit more ability to kind of bend and get past somebody on the edge than what we've had in some of these other guys. I love Justice Boone, and maybe he has a little bit of pass rush to him, but I doubt that he moves as well as Jalen Williams does. He's probably more refined. But if Williams can get it back and be more consistent this next week again to push himself into it, I feel like he's going to find a package or something that he's going to be a part of this season.
Yeah, good shout, and good to hear his name. Yeah, he's a guy that we've been reading about, which is nice. Good friend of the show, Honcho, says, would love to get pressure to the QB like back in 2019 when they had 51. If the secondary is as good as we hope they will be, should collect quite a few coverage sacks. Certainly an angle we haven't really touched on. We talk about the secondary a lot, but this should improve our pass rush numbers in general just because of coverage sacks. Javon Robinson is going to be a load to deal with, whether it's Fletcher or Scott on the other side, whether it's Bates, when these other guys, I think that's a key point. I wanted to ping you along with what Honcho was saying. By the way, again, Honcho's helping me set up the Green Bay meetup. So again, if you're going to be in Green Bay, let us know. Watch out on my Twitter page at Rajiv Badgers, at Bucky Report JJ. We'll update you. The Locked On Badgers Discord, all that stuff's going to be up there. We're going to be setting up those things. And if you're still watching this and if you're still with us, hit the like button. It's super helpful. Thank you so much. So the safeties, Justin. Van Dinter, we've heard a lot about. I want to ping you on Burks. I want to ping you on the room in general. How are you feeling about this room? Haven't heard as much as I thought we would about Burks in general. Van Dinter's done well. Young, we've heard some things. Where are you at on the safety room right now?
It's fine. I expect it to be solid to good. I don't know. Like, I guess we talked to Ryan a little bit about this offline. I guess from my perspective on them, I was never expecting like difference makers necessarily. What I want them is to do their job and direct the secondary. Like I want the corners to do more. That's where I've been frustrated for the longest time. And then if you're the safeties, I expect you to ball hawk. Now, what I want to see from these guys is once the bullets start flying, do they start making plays when we turn loose guys like Clayton and Cheeks and start putting real pressure on a quarterback where they have it? Now, so one of the things that Wisconsin has that a lot of teams aren't going to have is a hyper-mobile quarterback. Because no matter who we put back there, all three of them are well above average athletes who are capable of moving away from pressure and kind of buying themselves some time. If you have a statue quarterback or somebody who is not overly mobile, it's going to be a very different ballgame watching somebody drop back to pass. Because if you're able to push the pocket or do anything, you're going to get guys moving off a spot and kind of potentially throwing in that. And I think that's one of the areas that some of these quarterbacks excel, is they're comfortable moving off their spot and kind of throwing and resetting because they want to do that because they're athletic. And I think that that bodes well for Wisconsin. So I do expect the safeties to be more productive. Like, listen, if you're, I guess the best way to say this is I don't expect them to be what we were going to get from, who's the safety who went to Indiana? Left us after this.
Zachlin.
Yeah. I knew there was a P. I was thinking of Preston. What I was going to say is I don't expect any of them ball hawk like he did. Like, I felt like he was actually pretty gifted at that, being able to understand, like, read things. But if you can consistently put yourself in the spots where they're not able to make plays, then I feel good about the safeties. I do expect them to be more productive when the season starts, though.
Yeah, I'm okay on this, too. I think Van Dinter's had a nice camp so far, and that's been nice to see. I think overall the defense is looking like it's going to be solid, and we're not going to have too many issues. Bill Woj asks about Liam Denitz. Here's another guy that we heard a lot about. What are your thoughts on Denitz and getting on the field this year?
I feel like exactly what I was concerned with when I saw his film is kind of what his issue is right now. He was not at a Big Ten level from a strength and conditioning standpoint, and that's ultimately going to probably be his downfall, because he never had the upper body when you looked at his film from D3. Where you're like, he has the upper body to really hand fight and get into it with a tackle in order to get the bend and get by. And I think that that's where his struggle is going to be. Because I don't think he was really overly technical on the film when you watch it. He was just really fast and able to go by somebody who was a kind of a limited athlete at tackle at that level. I just don't see him being able to do it. Now, I do think he can be very productive on special teams, because I do think he's a guy who can really run. And who's capable of potentially blowing some things up where you're not used to having a guy that moves that well on the closer to the middle of your kick return coverage. So I think there's some things there to work with.
Anything else you've got? Stock up, stock down. Any other ones that you wanted to hit?
I think I'm in a better place I'm going to say stock up coaches.
Okay.
I feel better. This camp has sound more coherent, in like the news that we're getting out of it sounds like a traditional Badger camp from like 2016 or 2017, when we were hearing, oh, this thing looks good. Defense won today. Offense won today. You know, quarterback looks solid. You know, we would occasionally hear days where a lot of turnovers happened, whether it was the secondary quarterbacks and stuff like that. I don't think we've heard as much of that, because I think overall we feel better about the overall quarterback room than we've felt in a very, very long time. But I think this is going to be a much improved football team, and I think we'll truly see it when we start seeing them against other teams.
Yeah, I like the shout on coaching. I think I've liked what I've heard out of Luke Fickell so far this camp. He echoed the similar things that I heard from him directly at Big Ten Media Days. A lot of the same kind of stuff: confrontation, competition. And we heard him talk about confrontation. We've heard about confrontation and fights that have happened in there. That's fine. I'm good with that. Really like what I've heard about Eric Mateos and the O-line. Like, again, I'm concerned about the personnel in the room and the depth, but I'm not really concerned about Mateos. I think that he's bringing a toughness mentality, us against the world sort of thing. That I think is going to be really, really good. And then Honcho, Mateos is a walking soundbite. Exactly. He really is. I think that's really good. I've always admired many of the coaches we have on this team. A guy like Jack Cooper, who I absolutely love, and I think like his coaching is fantastic. I think that's what gives me hope in that room and feel confidence in that safety room. I agree. And I think I'm most interested to see what happens with Jeff Grimes and whether we see what kind of offense we see out of Grimes. And from what I've heard in camp and people have seen, it looks like there's going to be some interesting stuff. It looks like we're obviously going to be that this QB run situation is going to be happening a lot. Joseph's going to be using his legs. He's going to break contain. He's going to produce, get big chunk plays out of that. But I agree. Coaching is in a really good spot. And I think the message and the culture specifically that appears to be sort of building around this team. And now, to be fair, We said similar things last year too. Like we had talked about how excited we were about, you know, like how the 42 push-ups and blah, blah, blah. It didn't prove to be anything. It does feel different. And after media days, I said, this feels different. Now 9 days into camp, I think it does feel different, Justin. It does.
I agree. My biggest thing is that you can hear Fickell to me feels more confident. Like he legitimately feels like, Like, I think he was like there. You could tell when a coach believes in what he's saying and when he's just saying what he's just using coach speak. This is the first season that I have seen him in his time here where it's like, I think he feels like he's legitimately got some things that he can rely on and that he has an idea of what his team is compared to what he's had in the past. And I think you could make excuses for the first 2 years, just him not knowing what to expect from a Phil Longo offense, probably played heavily into that and just being far more comfortable with what a Grimes offense is in just like schematically. It's much closer to what he's used to and comfortable with overall in terms of football. But I also think that he feels much better about his personnel than he has at any other time. He just knows that he's not one injury away from something being completely blown up. Like, there is some level of depth across the board on this team. Now, maybe two guys can't go down, but I think he feels better overall than what he's felt in a long time.
Man. All right. So you're going to see the team on the 18th. Yeah. You're headed down.
Yep.
So what's the one thing that you're most looking forward to?
I want to see the offensive line. Like, I've heard they had good push today. I want to hear that's continuing or see it continue. I want to see, like, I watched that offensive line in games and was so frustrated with it. It drove me nuts. I want to see them create some plays against what I think is going to be a legitimately good defensive line. And if that's the case and the running backs are getting free a little bit, then I'll feel good. I will say this, just the clips that have been getting cut out that they've put out and released, the holes that they have to run through are significantly bigger than anything we saw at any time last year. So I feel far better about the run game being at least solid. Like, I'm not asking them to be a top five rushing team in the Big Ten, but I would like to see them find a way into the top 10. If they can do that, that is such a massive change for this team compared to where they were last year, accompanying a easier schedule. I just think that you have a much better, you know, place to go with this offense if that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. We've heard a lot about the running game this camp and about how we want to return to, Jeff Grimes said it in one of his media availabilities, wants to return to the Badger power run game, right? I mean, that's clearly a thing, which, as we talked about at the end of last season, the way to improve the floor of this team was to get bigger, it was to get stronger, it was to kind of go back to that power and go with kind of what made us successful, focus on the lines. So I think we're definitely doing that, which is good. We'll leave it there for today. Thank you for the couple hundred of you that are watching us live right now. Again, lots of good shows coming up. We've got Know Your Foe Iowa coming up this week. We've got Know Your Foe Minnesota. We're going to end the Know Your Foe series with those rodents from up north. That's going to be the last one that we're doing. But next week, preseason awards, right? So we're also, oh, by the way, midweek show coming after the open practice with Nick Osen. So watch out for that this week. We've got a lot of content coming up this week. And then next week, preseason awards, which we'll give away our MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, all that kind of fun stuff, fun superlatives, and finish our camp discussion before the following week, of course. That's our big season preview. Kevin Brown's going to be joining us. Ryan Herrings will be joining us. Have Nick Osen pop on as well. Record predictions will all come on that show. We're going to go through the entire schedule as we do every year. Justin, final thoughts before we end this Stock Up, Stock Down show.
Yeah, I'm happy to feel comfortable with this team. Like, I don't want to say confident because we don't know what we truly have yet at this point, but I'm glad to hear that it's not a train wreck. We're not hearing about a tackle that's getting whipped consistently every play. Now, Wilkins has gotten beat here and there, but you expect that if you have any level of quality on the edge, there's going to be reps where he gets beat. But there's also reps where he just buries somebody in the run game and is breaking guys open. So if there's give and take there, that's fine. I don't expect him to be perfect this season. I expect him to be solid. And if that's the case, and the offensive line in general is solid, we will be a much improved football team.
Yeah, I agree with you. Last year at camp, there were all kinds of questions about left tackle. And believe me, it materialized, as we all know, in game one. And yeah, there's different vibes. These are better players. Okay. The roster is in a better place because of the money that we spent on it and everything. Right. I mean, you have something else you want to add?
Oh, I was going to say we did not hear in the last several years consistent chunk run plays coming up left and right on a day-to-day basis. And that is what something we're hearing. Now, we're not hearing consistently about maybe the – like today was probably the first day where they were consistently grabbing those 4, 5, 6 yard carries. And that's something we want to see going forward. But they were springing some runs like consistently in this fall camp. And that is something over the last several years we have not – like they might have a day here and there – but every day we've heard them breaking runs where guys, there's a big hole that somebody got loose and was running for 20 yards or whatever. And if that's the case, that is a significant difference compared to what we've seen in the last few years. And I expect that to be a much bigger deal with this team when the bullets start flying for real.
Absolutely. If you are just joining us, go back, hit rewind, and watch us go through all of our stock up, stock down. We've got good content coming up for you this week. Do us a favor, subscribe to the show if you're not already subscribed. Going into football season, we're on a subscriber push, trying to get that number up so we can, so you can know when we make new content. If you're listening to us on a podcast platform, hit that follow button, leave us a review. And of course, that like button is always critical. More importantly, tell a Badger friend about the show. Share it. If you want to help us out, share the show with other people. We want to keep growing as we enter into football season. Hope to see many of you up in Green Bay. 3 short weeks away. We'll be back for the Know Your Foe this week and more content. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.